Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, where Kevin's driving another great Sunbury Motors vehicle this week.
Yeah, this week we're featuring the 2015 Kia Rio 5-door. Great vehicle for 30 miles to the gallon. Now imagine if you're paying like $1.80 a gallon and you go to the gas pump, you fill up, and it's like less than $20. And then that'll run you the entire week. That's back and forth to work. That's the grocery store. That's every little small trip in between to pick up the kids from school or drop them off to practice. That is a great second vehicle. It's a good first vehicle, too, if you're a single person or maybe just a couple. You can drag the stuff in the back and put all the stuff in the hatch in that 5-door and then maybe take a small trip and get up to 37 miles to the gallon. The 5-door Kia Rio from Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Prices starting at $265 a month.
Okay, time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Anaheim got off to a lousy start this year, but are they scorching hot now? Now 35-19-8. They beat Montreal last night thanks to the shootout.
That's ready. Folks towards center. This can decide a lot of things. Coming in across the Anaheim line. On Gibson. In on goal. He shoots. Save! A save for John Gibson. And the Ducks win the shootout 1-0. And a goal by Silverberg. And win the hockey game 3-2.
Steve Carroll on KLAA as the Ducks win again last night. And defeat Montreal 3-2. Kevin misses the fact that they're no longer called the Mighty Ducks.
You know, I was just about to say, it doesn't sound right to me not hearing the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim.
Absolutely. Imagine being portrayed as something more adult. All right, so let's...
It's marketing, all right? They made a mint. Disney made a mint on the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim.
Yeah. Disney doesn't own them anymore.
I know that. That's why I said they made a mint.
And the last I checked, that's not Emilio Estevez behind the bench. All right.
But Ducks do fly together.
With that, we bring in Greg Pickle from PennLive.com and the Patriot News. Greg, welcome. It's great to have you with us. We're going to start with an area everybody loves to hear about, and that is recruiting. They had junior weekend. They did get some commitments. What were your thoughts on how it played out?
Yeah, it was a good one, Dave. They haven't really had a whole lot to point to from a success standpoint, really dating back to the big win over Illinois. And that was obviously quite some time ago now. So to get some momentum back on the recruiting trail, you get kids to commit, three of them on Saturday that really are guys that Penn State has been targeting for a long time. Obviously, one of them, Micah Parsons, the super talented defensive end out of Central Dauphin in Harrisburg, can't sign for 2 years. So I think you probably have to temper the excitement of that one. It's good to get him in the class, but you have a long, long way to go to keep him. But the other two guys, Etor Matos from Virginia and Damian Barber from Harrisburg, are two ends that Penn State targeted for a long time. They were guys who were, you know, close to the top of the board, if not at the top, in terms of players they wanted at that position, and they were able to get the job done early. Penn State, you know, under James Franklin last year, and, you know, they like to build their classes between really signing day for the previous class and the start of the season. We've seen them have success both during the Blue-White weekend, sometimes a little bit before that, and then sometimes a little bit afterwards in the summer. And this is a continuation of that. It needs to, you know, keep growing. Four guys at this point, though, is a pretty good number, and it was a good weekend.
It's their third year here in the program, the coaching staff, which means they've been laying foundations now for a while. Do you think they're starting to see the fruits of the foundation they've laid, which always takes time to do?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think when you talk about two guys like Matos and Barber, they were guys that you know, probably would have had an interest in Penn State no matter who was here. But you know, especially Barber being a Harrisburg kid, a mid-Penn guy, a lot of guys that, you know, have played in that league in Harrisburg and went to Penn State, and a lot of guys that you know, are Harrisburg guys have grown up watching Penn State. But Montrose was really interesting to me, and that was, you know, the definition of a foundation get, Steve. They started with him, you know, during the summer of his junior year, or sophomore year, I guess it was. It was his junior year. And, you know, Clemson was the leader. He told me that the other day, that Clemson was the school he thought he was going to go to. And between Sean Spencer and Brent Pry, and I'm sure Bob Shoup had some impact when he was here, and, you know, of course, James Franklin now as well, those three guys locked him down and really moved Penn State from, you know, a middle of the pack in his recruitment to the top of the list. And to do so this early is really impressive. So, yeah, you're starting to see some of the fruits of that, and I think it's important that you see more of it down the road, you know, as they start trying to put this class together at positions of need.
Right, exactly. When Sandy Barber was on the show, she said that there was going to be no coaches caravan. Now, part of it is the Penn State Alumni Association puts this together, and they fall under the guise of the overall university. The athletic department is financially autonomous, but they're doing their part. What was your thought when you heard about that?
Yeah, you know, we're actually on the way up to State College to check out some weightlifting today. So I didn't really, I saw a little bit, a couple snippets of it from, you know, what we were able to hear in the car coming up the glorious mountain that goes in and out. But, yeah, you know, I'm not terribly surprised by that. I mean, I thought it was a really good event when Bill first got here, and I thought James's first year was really good as well. But, you know, those kind of events, sometimes they can get stale, and a year off is maybe not the worst thing in the world. Because obviously, you know, Penn State coaches, you know, obviously went out and gave good messages, and the people that came to the event seemed to all leave very excited by it, by, you know, social media and also the people that you're able to talk to. So, you know, I thought they were good events, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's not terribly surprising that one's not going to take place this year, both because of the financial, you know, aspect of it, which I'm sure is a big part, and, you know, also just the idea that they've done it, you know, quite a few years in a row now.
Right. Greg, you mentioned coming up here for the weight room event. What are some things that, you know, you're looking for right now?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like the combine, Steve. You don't really know what to look for until you see it, and you're like, right, wow, that was impressive. So, you know, I was blown away. I'm sure you guys have talked about it, but Saquon Barkley, you know, cleaning 390 yesterday, that's just preposterous to me. And to know that he matched what Anthony Zettel did as a running back, a sophomore running back, that's just, you know, you don't see that much. We knew this kid was a freak athlete, and he proved it again yesterday. Not that he needed to, but, you know, like I said, I was very impressed by Saquon, and I'm interested to hear what Dwight Gault has to say today. You know, he's a very straightforward guy, and he sort of won't beat around the bush with guys that have made big improvements. So I'm interested to see what has struck him most. You know, obviously we'll get a look at the January enrollees, hopefully, if they don't have class or testing or anything like that, that, you know, allows them to be there. So we'll see, you know, what kind of different shape those guys look compared to when they got here in January. So, you know, it's a good, you know, barometer, both, you know, from the eye test and also, you know, the numbers the program can gather as well.
Greg, every state, talent-wise, on the high school level, goes through its ups and downs. Some years the talent's lean, some years it's pretty deep. Where's the Pennsylvania high school talent in the current junior, about to be senior class, in your opinion, and then the year after? How much depth is in this state coming up this year and next year?
It's through the roof, Steve. I love the class of 2017 depth in Pennsylvania. There's probably 20 guys that are on the playing, you know, FBS football, maybe even more. It is a really, really talented group of juniors about to be seniors in 2017. And 2018's loaded, too. You know, we talk about Micah Parsons, and he's a headline stealer because of how good he is. But in Harrisburg alone, you have Shaquad Anderson, but, sophomore receiver at Harrisburg. You have Zach Kuntz, a tight end at Camp Hill. You have Phil Jurkovic, the quarterback from Pine Richland. And there's a few other guys that I could, you know, get to, but suffice it to say, it's two very good years coming up here in terms of talent in the Keystone State. And you're right, it does go up and down and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, you know, Penn State usually finds the best players no matter how deep the talent pool is. And in the next 2 years, there's a really deep talent pool to pull from.
With Maryland and Rutgers now both in the league, have you seen an expansion by Big Ten schools into New Jersey and into the D.C., into the D.C. Baltimore metro area, as to them going in looking for talent more so than usual?
Yeah, maybe a little bit, Steve. You know, I think Ohio State's always poked around there. There's no question about that. I think Michigan has poked around there. But I think it's more the coaches that are poking around there more than the, you know, I'm sure they're directly, they're related somehow. in terms of being able to have more of a presence there. But, you know, Jim Harbaugh went and recruited everywhere he's wanted to very well. And, you know, New Jersey has obviously been a big part of that. And Ohio State has always tried to pull guys from different parts of the country, and the Mid-Atlantic is certainly one of them. So, you know, do they have a little bit more name notability there? Sure. But as those two programs both continue to have success, you know, that never hurts things as well. Almost any program can get some additional attention in states they don't usually recruit if they succeed. And, you know, both programs did in the last couple of years, and that certainly helped the way they've been able to recruit those states besides, you know, they got with the Big Ten exposure.
Combine here is going to be the 17th, and spring practice gets rolling 18th and 19th. What are a couple items on your checklist, Greg, that you're going to be watching for when spring practice gets started here?
Yeah, I guess we'll start with Pro Day. I mean, obviously, we'll see what those guys want to do. I really would be interested to see if Jordan Lucas works out. I thought he would do, you know, mostly everything at the NFL Combine. He ended up doing nothing but the interviews and off-field stuff. So he's kind of the guy I'm most curious to see at Pro Day, you know, to see what he's able to do. And then for spring practice, you know, I think it's going to be, you know, a lot of watching and waiting, really. I mean, they're going to be able to install Joe Moorhead's offense, and we'll get to see, you know, how quickly that takes place. But it's all a process. It'll continue into the summer for sure as well. So, you know, everyone wants to watch the quarterbacks, and that'll be all good and well. But the defensive is interesting to watch as well. They need a lot of guys to step up there, and there's a lot of younger guys that could. You know, obviously a focus will be paid to the offensive line, as it always is, and linebacker's another interesting spot as well. So there's no lack of things to sort of keep an eye on this spring for Penn State between a new offensive coordinator and any adjustments Brent Pry makes, and then personnel-wise as well. There's a lot of things to, you know, to keep in mind as things get kicked off here for the 2016 season.
Greg, thanks so much. Appreciate the time as always.
Always a pleasure, Steve. We'll talk to you guys soon.
That's Greg Pickle, PennLive.com, and the Patriot News. We'll come back. Kevin will talk about interesting uniform combinations in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. Thanks to Greg Pickle. Shouldn't have brought up the uniform thing, because then Kevin went on for 5 minutes in the break about uniforms.
I love the baby blue uniforms that the Phillies had for road games. I'd like to see those come back. Like the blue hats, red brim, the alternate hats on Sunday day game uniforms with the off-white units. I'm not a big fan of the off-white uniforms, but I understand they're really popular.
Fabulous. Tony from Florida on our Facebook page wanted to add a couple of comments when it came to our interview with Greg Pickle. Says, why was there a story that Jay Paterno's case was dismissed and then a large ad for a story, Penn State, most hated school in PA? When you read the story, it's not that at all. I'll comment on that in a second. And then ask the guy from Penn Live why they have a story on Jim Harbaugh and Michigan, and Michigan recruiting twice a week. Well, both good questions. The Harbaugh situation is an interesting one because they're down there now, and he's actually getting into a spat now with other coaches. Brett Bielema, I guess they had an open practice today down in IMG. So Brett Bielema says he was going to go, the Arkansas coach. And Mark D'Antonio then tweeted that he was going to join Bielema. Hey, how about some lunch? And then Butch Jones of Tennessee said, you know, any room for one more? And I guess Harbaugh tweeted back out to Butch Jones, basically, take care of your own house.
Now this IMG Academy, is this the same one that, like, sometimes hosts Scholastic players and camps?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Okay, can I ask, this is a question that I've been trying to figure out. How is that not a conflict? How is that not a recruiting conflict? Because this is a company that is strictly set up to help kids get recruited.
Well, I mean, if you're just using the facility, that's what Michigan's going to argue. They're just using the facility.
But am I off base with that question?
No, I'm just telling you what the Michigan.
No, that's going to be their that's going to be their answer to that. Sure,
we're only using the field. It's right. Just a great facility to practice on. So, blah.
But yet, you can't talk about a potential recruit on the Steve Jones show. But they can go down to a place that actually is set up to build football players and baseball players and so forth.
Now to respond to what Tony's question was on Facebook. I'll take it a little bit further. Did Jim Harbaugh do anything against the rules here? No, he did not. As how the rules are currently set up, he did not break a rule. Took his team down there, takes them there. He is not, so he's within the scope of what the NCAA rules state. And there were more loopholes put into what he's doing back in the spring. And when Tom Izzo, when Michigan State was on break, took his basketball team to see the football team play Alabama, loose definition, in the national semifinal, that's when Harbaugh got the, you can travel your team to an outside event. So when he got the idea of doing the IMG thing down in Bradenton. So, Michigan can do this because they've got the money, obviously, to do it. And that's where I think you're going to have an issue with the NCAA of the haves, quote, the haves versus the have-nots. Right now, in the division, let's just take the division. Could Ohio State do this financially? Yes. Can Penn State football do this financially? Yes, but they would be told at this point not to. The budget's going to be pretty tight for the next year here. And then once the new TV contract kicks in, the budget's going to loosen up. Could Maryland do it? No. They're in the red. Could Rutgers do it? Absolutely not. Could Indiana do it? No. So you're going to have the argument of, well, even teams in your own division can't even do this. Isn't that a gigantic advantage for you that you can do this because you have the resources to do it? And the NCAA frowns usually on one school having massive advantages over somebody else because of money. And I think that's going to end up being the argument here that even teams in your own division financially can't do it. So there's going to be a couple of items that are going to come to the front for athletic directors, let's just say in the Big Ten. And I asked Sandy Barber about this yesterday, and, you know, a little tongue-in-cheek question, a little tongue-in-cheek moment. He said, has the Harbaugh thing been brought up among the athletic directors out in Indianapolis? You know, a little tongue-in-cheek, because, you know, darn well they have.
I like how she answered. Laughed. I like how she answered it too.
Well, she laughed. I mean, she laughed as she knew I was being tongue in cheek. And the situation is this: you're going to have a couple of things. Number one, hey, they shouldn't be doing that. And number two, you're going to get some. They're going to say, "Well, can we do that? Is it possible for us to do that?" And I think that's something that you got to either say yes, or you have to nip it in the bud. One of the two. Just make it definitive, anybody can do it, whatever, or you need to nip it in the bud. And you're correct about, you know, here we are doing this at whatever. I mean, look, when Penn State goes to bowl games, for example, when they went down to San Antonio, they practiced at a high school. They practice at a high school in Jacksonville.
I'm just
explaining. You know, Penn State practices at a high school at Amelia Island. They practiced at a high school in Melbourne. They practice in Melbourne, Florida. Practice at a high school in San Antonio. Now the Rose Bowl, they didn't. I mean, in Dallas, they practice at a high school.
And I realize
Rose Bowl,
you're not
Rose Bowl. They practice at the Home Depot Center where the Galaxy play.
I mean, I realize you're not taking an opposite stand from what I'm saying here, but the practicing in a high school is a little bit different to me than practicing at IMG, which is a set. This is a camp built for this purpose, not to educate.
Well, but it is a high school. I mean, it is. You know, you do go to IMG Academy academically. It's an academy.
Yeah, but again, nobody could tell me that this place was built for education.
No. You do have to stay eligible to play. But yeah, it is. I mean, if you wanted to send your son or daughter there for elite sports camp to go with academics, you do send them. You have to pay to send them there. Now, it's not as if Penn State's never had an IMG Academy player. They've had two. Michael O'Connor, the quarterback, came from IMG Academy to here. Now Michael is playing in Canada. And Danny Morrissey, who played basketball here. Danny was an IMG Academy graduate. I just think that just because Michigan has the money to do it, that's the part that I think above all, as the NCAA, that part is the part that would turn me off. I think it would be the excuse over the recruiting part of it. I think it's your way of shutting down the recruiting part of it by using the money excuse. How about that?
Maybe.
Not everybody can do it.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Boy, Kevin in the break railing on charter schools, private schools, Catholic schools.
Listen, did you see the District 12, the four teams that came out of District 12 in Class AAA? Del Valle Charter, Imhotep Charter is the 4 seed that came out of District 12. Newman Goretti is the 2nd seed that came out of District 12. And who is the other one that I'm missing? It was Del Valle, Imhotep, Newman. Who was the 3rd seed? Archbishop Carroll.
Archbishop Carroll and Newman Goretti just are really good.
I'm not saying they're not. But doesn't that tell you something? When your top 4 seeds go into the state playoffs out of one district, not a single one of them is a public school.
Okay, but Newman Goretti, for goodness sakes, and Carroll are both in the city. Come on.
Not public school.
Oh, brother.
And somebody's got to explain to me, too, how Archbishop Carroll is technically playing out of the West.
You're just a hater. Let me give you, you want some advice?
Sure.
Get better players.
All right.
Okay.
Have to go to, what is it, Wincote?
I honestly
I've never even heard of this place. Wincote. I guess it's down in the Philly area. But technically, they come out of the west part of the bracket, the bottom half of the bracket. I don't know. Maybe they don't do it east and west bracket anymore.
I'm sure they do. Okay. Let's see. Bozo of the day. And Marvin Harrison calling out Terrell Owens for his Hall of Fame comments. He said, look, bottom line is, he said, the person who was supposed to get in got in, and that was me. If he didn't get in, that's his problem. He can talk all the other bull blank like he's been doing. That's on him, but I'm in. So if he doesn't get in, too bad. The heck with him. Owens. I felt more so disrespected. I think you guys know my stats speak for themselves. I think everyone realizes there is a flaw in the system. Everybody's just talked about this for 2 weeks after the Super Bowl. No, they didn't. No, they really didn't. No, they kind of moved on quickly. Mostly talked about Von Miller, Peyton Manning, Duke, North Carolina. You? No. I never really played the game to get into the Hall of Fame anyway. I'm used to it. I probably would have been more surprised if I had made it. It's a shame some pencil pushers to vote guys in considering the body of work they've done and put out in the football field. What I've done throughout my career speaks volumes. Yes, in the end, never a truer statement. Now, I'm going to give you a list of names. Okay? I'm going to give you a list of names. And I want to tell you what this list of names has in common with Terrell Owens. Okay? All right. Now, we know about the touchdowns. Very impressive. He also was a very good blocker, to his credit. He also was not big on the star of the center of the field in Dallas. Let me give you this list of names. Mark Ingram. Remember that great catch he made in the Super Bowl for the Giants against the Bills? That great run. Mark Ingram. Frank Gifford. Ollie Mattson. Nat Moore. Alshon Jeffrey. Just was franchised by the Bears. Dick Gordon played for the Bears. DeAndre Hopkins of Houston. Sidney Rice. Patrick Creighton. Willie Frazier and Eric Martin. What do they all have in common with Terrell Owens? Again, Mark Ingram, Frank Gifford, Ollie Mattson, Nat Moore, Alshon Jeffrey, Dick Gordon, DeAndre Hopkins, Sidney Rice, Patrick Creighton, Willie Frazier, and Eric Martin. What do they have in common with him? They're all tied with Terrell Owens for 206th all-time in yards per catch. At 14.8. Sorry if I beat you to that, Kev. Really? Really? Who's ahead of him in yards per catch? A.J. Green? Terry Glenn? Victor Cruz? Julio Jones? Irving Fryer? Let's see, who else? Let's see, who else is ahead of him on this esteem? With Mike Wallace, whom you don't like? Fred Biletnikoff. Fred Biletnikoff's a possession receiver. Allegedly. Boyd Dowler. Jordy Nelson. Bobby Mitchell. Henry Childs. Bob Trumpy, the tight end, averaged more yards per catch. Danny Abramowitz, allegedly a possession receiver with New Orleans. These all have more yards per catch by Plexico Burress. Gary Clark, who played forever with the Redskins. Milt Morin was a tight end with the Browns. Santonio Holmes, more yards per catch. T.Y. Hilton, obviously Randy Moss. Dave Parks, played in the 60s and 70s with the 49ers. Gino Cappelletti with the Boston Patriots, kicker and wideout. Averaged one more yard per catch, actually more than that, than Terrell Owens in his career. Who else on this esteem list? I'm skipping over a bunch of names. John Mackey, tight end. Calvin Johnson. Anthony Carter. Kyle Rote, Drew Pearson, Gary Collins, Wes Chandler, Chris Collinsworth, 16.1 yards a catch in his career. Kenny Britt. Dave Logan, broadcaster now for the Broncos, play-by-play guy, 16.2 yards a catch. John Stallworth, Lynn Swan, Sammy White, Freddie Scott, former Nittany Lion, Rick Upchurch, Pete Retzlaff, the great Don Hutson that we never had a chance to really see. I've only seen him on film. Lenny Moore, 16.6. Roy Jefferson. Lewis Lips, 16.8. So all with more yards per catch than Terrell Owens. I'm not even close to being done. I'm only up to 59. I'm skipping guys. Rich Caster, tight end for the Jets, 17.1. Tight ends. Tight ends getting more yards per catch. Jack Snow, the great Otis Taylor, played for the Chiefs. 17.8 yards a catch. Mike Quick, 17.8 yards a catch. Three more yards per catch than Terrell Owens. Haven Moses, play for the Bills. Albert Dubenyon, James Lofton, the great Del Schaffner with the Giants all those years, 18.5 yards a catch. Don Maynard, Roger Carr, Gary Garrison, Mel Gray, the incomparable Lance Allworth, 19 yards a catch.
How far was Louis Lips up on this list?
Paul Warfield, 20.1. Jimmy Orr, I'm wide open in the end zone. Earl Morrill can't see me, 19.8. Where's Louis Lips on this list?
Yeah, you mentioned Louis Lips earlier.
He is. Sorry about that.
No, that's all right.
There's Stallworth Swan. I think he was ahead of them, wasn't he?
No.
In yards per catch? Yeah.
Really?
He was.
Wow.
Yeah. Stallworth and Swan were back-to-back. Stallworth 16.2 and Swan 16.3. I mean, Sonny Randall, Pete Retzlaff, Jackie Smith, the tight end, 16.5. Charlie Hennigan caught 101 passes one year when it was not in vogue. Tony Hill. Louis Lips, 16.8, 65th.
Yancey Thigpen on that list?
I didn't see.
That's but he's now there's 200, a flashback name.
But he's 206th all time in yards per catch. 206. Right? And he led the league in drops how many times? And he's mouthing off about pencil pushers. Only, I mean, leading in drops. I mean, you make that many mistakes at your job, you don't have a job.
Yancey Thigpen was 16.2.
Okay, well, he'd be ahead of him. 14.6. Where's Yancey Thigpen? Yancey Thigpen is tied with John Stallworth. Yeah, he's right there, 16.2. Yep, 96th.
He had a long career with the Steelers. I mean, he spent eight. I didn't realize he was there 8 years.
Yeah, he was. He ended up playing with three teams in his career. But
actually, I'm sorry, not 8 years. It was 5 years. The last three were with Tennessee.
Yep. Yep. But I'm saying that's when you look at it, you're 206th. Okay. In other words, you're 110 spots behind John Stallworth and Yancey Thigpen. And Mark Jackson and Tim McGee and Glenn Doughty and Charlie Joyner, James McKnight and Dave Logan. They're all tied for 96th. You're 206.
So what you're saying to me is Yancey Thigpen and his Yancey dance has a better chance of getting in the Hall of Fame based on yards per catch.
No, but I'm saying that when you look at Terrell Owens, talks about, now Terrell Owens, I think, is what, second all-time in touchdowns? And that's huge. All right, so I understand that. He's up there, number of catches. I understand that. He, except for one playoff game, he has no discernible postseason where, you know, and there's one playoff game they play against Green Bay. But other than that, he doesn't have what you call a depth on the resume of incredible playoff moments. And he wanted to get in the first time. There's so many guys in that list that I would pick before him. You're not going to tell me. I actually had a guy argue with me today about him versus John Stallworth. He goes, oh, he's much better than John Stallworth. I said, I would take John Stallworth in a heartbeat. The discussion in the room would take seconds. And he said, in fact, part of that would be dialing the phone to tell him we're not taking him. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Terrell Owens. Yeah. Sure. Basketball coming up tonight. Penn State takes on Northwestern this evening. One of the real oddities of the schedule is this is the first time in the last five games that Penn State's played Northwestern at home. Huh? You're in a conference. You're in a conference. It's been 3 years since they played a game here.
Steve, this just in, tonight at the Coach's Show, half-price appetizers and drink specials.
Okay. You want me to take advantage of what part?
Well, I mean, you're going to have to eat something before the game.
Well, I will. I will get something. I've got an hour and a half between the end of the show and the beginning of the next one.
And if I were the one that was actually calling the game, there'd be many people in the arena thinking that I took advantage of some of the drink specials before the game.
Hey, over 1,000 shows prove it.
I borrowed Fran Fisher's line. I actually told him years ago that I borrowed his line that people that bring their radios to the game get two games for the price of one.
Yeah.
The game they're watching and the game they're listening to.
Yeah. Fran always said that and was self-deprecating, but you know what? No. That's, no, that wasn't the, no. Fran was a lot better than he would let on. How about that? A lot better. And I think if you're somebody who, you know, obviously fans will have you know, fans have their own opinions as to who they like and who they don't like. And obviously, Fran was very much loved. There's no question about that. But there's also a different perspective when, you know, you've actually sat in the chair as to how good somebody is. You know what the traffic's like. You know how quickly it goes. You know what it's like working with somebody. Things you got to do, don't do, things like that. Fran was really, really good. He really was. Really, really good. So...
He did, by the way, give me the okay to use that and without trademarking it or anything. So,
Of course.
Yeah, didn't have to give him any attribution. He was good with that. He actually thought that was pretty funny, too.
Oh, no, he did. I know.
Actually, I think the day I told him that, I said, you know, I've used your line for several years now. He goes, oh, so you can offer that service too.
Actually, I was at Joe's house one time, and Joe got up and was introducing people who were in the room, and we got to meet. He said, Steve Jones, our play-by-play guy. He says, you know, he did the same thing. He says, you know, he says, well, Steve, you get two games for the price of one, the one you're watching, the one you're listening to. I went, oh, I looked at him and go, oh. I said, who's got the last word? Well, tonight it'll be at 9 o'clock. This is not a nationally significant game tonight. It's not. Right? Anybody with common sense knows that. But is it a significant game for Penn State basketball? Yes. Bucknell has a big one tonight with Holy Cross. Quarterfinals Patriots, 7 o'clock. Doug Birdsong on Eagle 107. Then our game at 9 with an 8:30 airtime, as Dick Girardi and Jeff Tarman join me for that. But it's important for Penn State because, look, they're 6-10. They have an opportunity. The door is open to be 8-10 in the conference. They haven't been 8-10 in the conference in forever. And you're trying, you know, you're trying to win, get to yourself to, I don't know, a 9 seed where you're playing the 8 seed, which in all likelihood right now would be Michigan. Take another crack at them. They certainly played them much, much better at Madison Square Garden. I think started to get a feel for them a little bit as time went. If you can do that, that'd be great. But you just want to get home and you want to win. It's senior night tonight. He'll start the four seniors. Brandon Taylor will start tonight. Devin Foster, Donovan Jack, Jordan Dickerson, and the sophomore Shep Garner will round out the lineup tonight. So there's the emotion of senior night. You're asking why are they doing senior night today and not doing senior stuff on Sunday. The students are here today. That's why. Spring break starts here tomorrow night. So with this game being the last one with the students here, they wanted to give the players to play their senior night in front of the student body, so that's why they're doing it. We apologize sincerely to Terrell Owens for taking the time and actually looking up his stats. All right.
I was going to say, make sure. What are you apologizing for? Because I ain't apologizing for nothing.
You know, like we always say to people when it comes to opinions on the show, we apologize because we have the ability to read. All right. I'm sorry. I took the time to read it, so.
This has been a public service.
Jeff Byers tomorrow from Iowa City. Big Ten Wrestling Championships on News Radio 1070 WKOK.